You're listening to Theme Party on Kill Radio. Spiel and announcements to follow. Momentarily. After hella sound effects.
Caretaker's wife, I'm leaving tomorrow. Don't let it bring you down. Stick around and around and around and around. Till the band comes in and the clouds begin to open. Till the band comes in and we hear them all as one. I'll be back again if you promise that you like me. The band comes rolling in. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Keep your friends with their windows so high. Keep your city with children that shine through its eye. If you need me to move through, you know where I'm found. Still alive, with my subhuman sound to the ground. Till the band comes in, and the clouds begin to open. Till the band comes in, and we hear them all as one. I'll be back. If you promise that you write me when the band comes rolling in. Da 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 da.
And the breakdown of this song is as good a point as any to break in with spiel action. This is Theme Party. It's Friday night. Theme Party, of course, comes at you most Friday nights from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. California. If you're in another part of the world, it might be a.m. Most likely not, because parts of the world where it would be a.m. aren't cool enough to listen to us, is my opinion. My xenophobic, ugly American racist opinion, in fact. Tonight, we have no theme in particular, other than the fact that it feels like Christmas went into extended overtime, and every day is just another part of the celebration. And we'll talk more about why that is later, but in the background is Scott Walker, till the band comes in. More songs to follow. This is Kill Radio. Kill Radio, of course, broadcasting 24 hours a day on the internet. So technically the word broadcast is an inaccuracy. I apologize for that. It wasn't necessarily a lie. It was just a habitual phrase usage. In other words, I'm going to stop talking now. And when I come back, I'll be funny. In the meantime, I hope everybody's prepared to have their ass blown out of their seats, because on Sunday, it's 24 and Rome. I can't believe it.
Restaurant right down the street. They have good food and a good man.
He sings Elvis songs.
You
is that
food.
A good level? I'm rapping like this one. I'm rapping like this.
Why are you rapping like that? It's kind of crazy. It's a crazy
I just
sound.
Think the general level.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm going.
Go.
Yeah. All right, if you haven't been to Palms Thai, it's on Hollywood Boulevard. You should go. They're paying us in free drinks. I don't know. Give you a Coke or something?
Is anyone even a Palms Thai? Are we?
There we go.
Those are right, women.
Yeah. I'm talking right down the street. We'll grab a bite to eat. I'm craving jailhouse rock and my choice of meat.
And I'm all shook up. I'll take a singer with a mug while I watch Asian Elvis sing a hunk of burning love.
So chick takes my order, food's out in a hurry. So fast, in fact, that has kind of got me worried.
Secret Asian waitress takes your order in an earpiece. Turn gonna bring your table before you even take a seat.
Got the music and the grub and it's even nice and cheap. I chop them up and hang while I rock to the beat.
Deep fried catfish, curry paste soup, yum. Sukiyaki stir fry, steamed crab dim sum.
Sweet and sour fried rice, baby corn pad thai, tom call rad nard, chow mein pan fried.
Fish ball, sway shoe, chili sauce, hot spell, teddy bear, spicy shrimp, heartbreak hotel.
Yo man Lee, you hungry?
Yes, I have the munchies.
We'll let these heads know what we got, that green curry.
Ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis. War, you want some food?
And some blue suede shoes.
We'll get all that and some fried tofu. Ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis. When I drop a palm's tie, bone dry and hungry. And I want a lot of grub for not a lot of money.
It's like $8, and now I got lunch for later. When I'm hungover drunk, being a couch potato.
Walking like I own the place.
Elvis even knows my face.
We don't got no time to waste.
Come on, waitress, bring my plate.
It's an Asian Graceland. When the food is Japan, it's like Memphis, Tennessee, mixed with Thailand.
And we're the man band. My name is Manowar. I want sweet basil and tomato. Number 54.
I'll take a 57. My name is Man Lee. That's crispy pork with Chinese broccoli.
Wontons, hot dog, in the ghetto bean sprouts, dry chili, green curry, stuck on Yuki.
I'm talking sweet and sour, baby corn, sideburn, bok choy, sunglass, jumpsuit, rhinestone, cowboy.
Man Lee, you hungry?
Yes, I have the munchies.
Well, let these heads know what we got, that green curry.
Ta, Elvis, ta. Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis. War, you want some food?
And some blue suede shoes.
We'll get all that and some fried tofu. Ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis, ta, Elvis.
Now DJ Man Optimus is gonna cut the fuck out of this track.
Well, thank you. Right. Kind of a big deal. That song's done. Thank you. Thank you.
wasted on me. Your kisses are wasted on me. Your kisses are wasted on me. Boy, can you see me through? Boy, I don't love you, don't make me smile. For a while. Boy, get out of my face. Boy, I'm gonna get to chase some other guy. Who I might like.
And I still shake their hands. Got women that hate me, cause I love them too much. But they still sing along with that.
Fuck you, fuck
that. They complain about the amount of rainfall. Fell like the well ain't down to contain y'all. I'm one of them they wanna aim verbal guns at. Enough to make me wanna stay bit like a hunchback. I love rap, but she's such a homely bitch. I have to hit it from the back when we get up in the sack. It don't affect the way I treat her. She knows I still need her. Somebody as ugly as me ain't ever gonna leave her. Walk with me if you will from the school of Let's Build. Somebody between MC Shane and internet skills. You got the chill, stack up them lost deals, and kill the claustrophobia before it pops wheels. Feels like they scared of success. No definition what that word really suggests. Popping off like it's hip-hop apocalypse. But I'm not impressed with the dried blood on your dress. You're just a bitch and there's no incognito to it. Heart pumps fist so thin I can see right through it. The ballad of the absent student. Even if we was blind, we would hear it in your music.
Mainstream rappers, underground rappers,
you're a bitch too.
Radio programmers,
you're a bitch too.
Video programmers,
you're a bitch too.
Major record labels,
you're a bitch too.
Independent labels,
you're a bitch too.
Record store clubs,
you're a bitch too. And I'ma do my best to pimp you. Let's seduce the pseudo-truth seekers. Taste the juice that's squeezed from two speakers. Who's eager to reach for more than just a piece of jewelry and a pair of new sneakers? I read your face blank page after page. Separates the glue eaters from the loose beavers. We gotta find new leaders who would give these believers a few reasons not to sleep through the fever. Support the troops and support the oops. And give awards to reporters who distort the truth. Or stick up the devil for the farm and the jackpot. When the revolution comes, arm and educate the half. Not MC, MC, ain't nobody friendly. Best that you can hope for is that they fuck you gently. And if you fly, keep an eye on open ground. Where the ones that know you're down try to hold you down. It doesn't matter either way, you gon' stay on display. But little say of how you get away was full of mistakes. You've been bitch made, probably since the sixth grade. Back when you used to dress up like getting played. Get step back to the bottom line. If you're gonna rhyme, don't be wasting all our time. Put your life on them raps you spit. And don't forget to write from front to back. Bitch, bitch,
mainstream rapper,
you're a bitch too.
Underground rapper,
you're a bitch too.
Radio program,
you're a bitch too.
Video program,
you're a bitch too.
Major record label,
you're a bitch too.
Independent label,
you're a bitch too.
Record store club,
you're a bitch too.
And I'ma do my best to pimp you.
Corporate journalist,
you're a bitch too.
Message board critic,
you're a bitch too.
Yeah, sound scary,
you're a bitch too.
Dirty sound,
you're a bitch too.
Nightclub owner,
you're a bitch too.
Sponsors and
tempo. You're wrong, bitch. You're wrong,
and
bitches.
I'ma do my best
you're
to
wrong,
pimp you.
You're wrong, bitches. You fucking bitches. It's fucking ridiculous. All right, all right. Calm down, you victory. Calm down, you victory.
Yay. That was the most unenthusiastic yay in the history of yay. I'm actually going to have to go back and try that again later. Before I go any further with what I need to do, I want to tell you what we just listened to. And this is going to be the most boring part of the show. But I have to do it, just in case somebody out there is illegally copying this to make a mixtape for themselves. The first... No, you know what? I'm going to do this in reverse order. You just heard a song called You're a Bitch Too by Slug from Atmosphere. The rap group, obviously. And I really like that group, although I have to admit that they do have the tendency of a lot of underground rappers to let their intellectualism supersede the fun sometimes, but that song is incredible. And that's all. Before that, I played a song by the Pipettes called Your Kisses Are Wasted on Me, and that is from We Are the Pipettes, which came out last July, and it's awesome, and that's actually a remix. The song, it's a remix off the Dirty Mind single. The song actually has much more guitar in it normally. Before that, Slow Food by Arlen and Cameron, who reunited last year after a four-year break, happily for me. And actually, no, they broke up in 2001, so it was a five-year break. Before that, played an actual performance from Theme Party last fall, the man band were on, and they actually debuted that song on the show, and it's Ty Elvis. Before that, song by the Postmarks, which is a Miami, Florida. I wish they were Miami, Oklahoma-based band. But they're not, because people in Oklahoma pronounce it Miami, because
is
they are
there
stupid.
One? There's it's Miami, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Miami is how they pronounce it there. I looked it up once to find out why there's two Miamis and why they're pronounced differently, but I can't remember what the. I agree, but there's also, you know, we'll come back to that later. The point is, they're from Miami, Florida. They're called the Postmarks. The song was called Goodbye. For that, I played a song called Bad Men by a local group called Wait Think Fast, who will be our guests in a couple of weeks here on Theme Party, and they're really, 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 really good. And maybe I'm just over selling them because they're friends of mine, but I actually think they're fucking kick-ass, as that song demonstrated aptly. For that, Michel Colombier, La Rose de Papier, which I believe is French for paper rose, although I might be wrong. Before that... And the first song of the night was Scott Walker, Till the Band Comes In. And we're back, and it's Theme Party. It's the first Theme Party we've... And there are people that just walked in. Hey, guys. First Theme Party we've done all year. Literally. And people are coming over to hug me because I'm popular.
You're not popular. You're just by the microphone, and that's what we really want.
That's true, because it's shaped like a penis.
Oh, burn.
Oh, I totally dissed you by making a gay joke. How droll. Oh, bigotry is funny. I'm kidding, it's not. But it might not have been bigotry, though. It could have been maybe Chris really does have a thing for penises. I don't have a problem with that.
Doesn't mean he's gay.
No, it could mean he's gay. I'm not judging the gay part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm backtracking from the fact that I went for the easy laugh, which for some reason meant... defaulting to grade school bigotry, which is hilarious.
But the thing is it truly gay if I'm attracted to Ross? Because he's half a woman anyway.
That is actually true.
It's very true.
Yeah, I can't decide if I'm a lesbian or... Actually, I don't even know where to go with that. I'm a lesbian trapped in a gay man's body.
You're a lipstick lesbian.
I am a lipstick lesbian.
Trapped in a man's body.
That's true. Man, I would be such an awesome lipstick lesbian, too. Have you seen how lipstick lesbians dress? They dress like, you know, well, they dress like androgynous boys.
Like Baby Spice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, if I were a lesbian, I'd dress like Scary Spice. Though I'd have to be black first. But if I were a lesbian, I'd be black. I'm already getting to choose to be a gay woman.
But if you were a Spice Girl, you'd be Baby Spice.
No, what? No. God.
Yes, totally.
If you mean Baby Spice's recent solo album, okay, I'd be willing to be that incarnation.
Loved.
That's a great album. I'd be willing to be that incarnation of Baby Spice, but I'm not gonna be the Baby because Baby Spice is like one of those English people that you know, like there's three kinds of English people, right? There's English people who are descended from people that the English colonized. Then there's the sort of like dark-haired, haughty, sultry-looking English people, as exemplified by Posh Spice. And then there's the, like, baby-faced, but they go from, like, 5 to 85 within a space of, like, 10 years, and then look really haggard and old for the rest of their lives, as exemplified by Baby Spice. And it's because English people drink a lot.
Does she look haggard and old?
Well, I mean, I haven't really seen a picture of her, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of makeup going on. It's just that English people drink a lot, and they smoke too much, and I don't know why, but people in England thought I was 10. No, I'm kidding. But I did meet a 10-year-old who looked like my dad, and that was really, really weird. He was like, give me a cigarette. And I was like, okay, here you go. Good times. Again, so we're back. It's been many weeks since we've been here, and I'm very happy to see all of you, even though I've seen all of you, except for Skin Graft and DJ JetBlue. I haven't seen those guys in months. But I got an email from Skin Graft because I got to take umbrage with him real fast because I'm a participant in his wedding this year. I'm actually the wedding DJ. I brought my hottest hits of 1985, Cool and the Gang, We Are Family. No, I'm not, but I am. He sent us this email, and I found out that the tux, $129 tux rental? What the fuck, Jigga?
That's much cheaper than other ones we looked at.
That's true. If it were up to me, I would just show up in like a t-shirt and like a vest, and I'd be like, whoa, we're the potty at? Yeah!
That's why we chose not to leave it up to you.
That's true. No, I would have worn, actually.
You will love this tux. Mm. It's sexy.
It's powder blue.
Actually, powder blue would work with me really well. What I'd like is one of those 1970s tuxes, you know, with like.
No, actually, it's all black with just the red tie.
Nice. Can I have permission to do my tie as a cravat instead?
I was just going to
at the reception.
At the reception. I'm totally going to untie the tie and wear it as a cravat. I'll be like the Thurston Howell III of your
Can
wedding.
He, instead of the tux, wear a replica of a British Admiral's uniform from the 19th century?
Oh,
he
my
can
God.
Do whatever
that
the hell
so
he
incredible.
Wants after the ceremony,
yeah,
after,
the after
the pictures.
That's going to be a fun week, too. It's going to be in Chicago. Yeah, I'm telling the entire world that their wedding's going to be in Chicago at the following location. Enough of that.
Technically, it's in a suburb, so they can't find it.
So how do you guys feel about the fact that we're about to get lied into another war with Iran? So awesome. I just wanted to bring
I'm
that up.
I'm for it.
Let's I feel
do it.
Spiffy.
I'm so happy about it. It's great. Only this time, the normal strategy for leading up to a war in the last 10 years, which is to, like, default to, shut the fuck up, fucking faggot. Which worked in 2002, oddly enough. It's like every time someone was like, but, fuck you, fat. Okay, we'll kill some brown people. Just don't call me gang anymore. I really am ashamed of Americans during 2002. It's like everyone just turned into a big pansy. And fortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. Even Republicans are now aligning themselves with the dreaded dirty hippies and opposing the possibility of war in Iran, so.
I have a question to pose to you that
pose
I thought
it.
Of today.
Okay.
Sort of a war-related question. If,
what is it good for? I think I know the answer to that one.
Absolutely nothing.
No, if you had the choice, you had to pick one of these things to completely eliminate from our world, would it be WMDs or DMB, Dave Matthews Band?
Oh, DMB. There's no what? Dave Matthews Band has done far more pain and suffering than any amount of mustard gas or nuclear weapons. Look, the bombs we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki killed a few hundred thousand people, but that's only like a percentage of the number of dirty rich hippies in colleges right now going, what would you say? Destroying the airwaves with their stupid crap. The smell of patchouli and marijuana wafting out of their rooms like a BO chemical weapons attack. It's terrible. Yeah, no, Dave Matthews it would be first on my list of things to take out. It would be my pleasure. So wonderful. Only, could we eliminate it so that I would know that it was eliminated, or are you talking about
That's
erasing
the thing.
It from existence?
It's not that it never happened, but that everyone knows that it existed, but now will never exist again.
Wow, we could open up like the
so WMD.
We could open up the Dave Matthews Holocaust Museum so that people would never forget how bad the music is.
It's just one of those things that's once it's made, it can never be unmade.
That's true. That's what Dr. Oppenheimer said about the Dave Matthews Band, actually. He was like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. If they play one concert, it could start a chain reaction that could turn the entire universe into a hippie.
The Dave Matthews Band, formed by the evil Lord Sauron.
That's true. No, Sauron.
No,
Sauron likes even shittier music.
What do you think Henry Kissinger's view of DMB is?
That's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. I wish I knew Dave Matthews' politics. I wonder if it turns out, like, sort of how Blues Traveler turned out to be a bunch of fucking libertarian douchebags.
I don't really think of DMB as hippie, though, or the people that listen to them. They're the, like, fake hippies that are we've got dreadlocks and we smoke pot,
I did single them out as, like, the sort of, like, rich college hippies who are, like, rebelling against daddy before they go to law school types.
It's more of a jam band thing.
Jam bands are a subculture of hippies. I mean, obviously, no one makes psychedelic music anymore.
Well, Phish, I'd say, is dirty hippies.
Yeah, and Dave Matthews. They're like clean
shaven. Dave Matthews Band, they're like bras.
Ugh. Yeah, they're frat hippies. It doesn't really matter. I hate their music so very much. It actually causes stomach pain. Like last night when we went to dinner at El Cholo, and I have to add another food to the list of foods that I can't gorge on anymore, which is really becoming a long, drawn-out list. I looked at my driver's license this morning, and I realized those like numbers were actually my birth date and not like my measurements. So I am in my 30s, as it turns out.
Old man Lincoln!
I don't understand. You mean cheese and refried beans?
Yeah,
are
I know.
Not good for your stomach.
I used to be able to like just swallow tons and tons. Like every now and then, I just go, "Let's go gorge out." No, I can't. I can't do Indian food like that anymore. I can't do Italian food. So right now, I have left pizza without cheese, and I'm trying to think what else I could conceivably like have a binge of food wise. Cereal. I could probably eat like 5 bowls of blueberry morning cereal and be perfectly content. And that stuff's really delicious too. Who was it that was saying that blueberries smelled like feet?
Was it Monica?
Yeah, I think it was Fun Employment. They don't smell like feet, by the way. They taste really good. I'm going to make everything wonderful and delicious. Christmas time was recently. Some of us we didn't see because they were out of state. So let me ask you guys, what did you get for Christmas?
I got my newest toy. My mom.
You finally got the rabbit?
GPS.
Congratulations.
On eBay.
You got a what?
You know, one of those GPS computers for your car. The hopelessly
lost. Yeah, I was about to say, are you driving to the jungle a lot, and you just in case you get lost?
Well, you know, I need to find my way back to civilization.
No, I understand. Does it come
this
with like
vast
a
vast jungle called Los Angeles?
Well, does it come with like a scale with an idol on it, and you have to take the sandbag to put it on the idol, and you take the idol off in order to find your way out?
No, it doesn't have nearly as many strings attached.
So does it wipe your butt after you're done going to the bathroom too? Lazy man who can't check a map.
That would have been the deluxe model.
Right, of course. I don't know how I feel about GPS tracking or GPS devices in people's cars. Although it's not quite. Although knowing how.
If you knew Chris and his sense of direction,
that's cool.
You would have absolutely no problem with it.
No, yeah, if Chris were a superhero, his power would be for us to drop him in enemy territory and become their scout.
I have more problems with the DVD players, the TVs in the car, than I do trying to find your way around a city.
That's true.
Now, I had always thought that those were illegal to have them in view of the driver, but apparently I guess that's becoming less so now.
I think they position them in such a way so that they're technically not in view of the driver. Like, if you look at them, they're sort of, like, adjacent with the driver's head, so they really can't see them.
I've seen some new ones, and even, like, not minivans or whatever, that are, like, down more towards the floor that I'm sure
yeah.
they can see.
I don't know. I just...
Do you remember that one time we're coming back to L.A.
We
passed by and had like 3 screens
yeah.
and there was porn. They were watching porn on the highway.
Well, so
don't you realize that like even if you have tinted windows at nighttime, we can see bright lights through them?
Well, see, what I would love to do is just get like some old broken down van and put up like sheets on the windows and actually project porn against them as I'm driving down the highway.
Incredible. I actually want to do that now. Well, it'd be great if you could, like, get the entire side of a car with, like, make the entire side of your car, like, flat-screen television, and then just broadcast whatever you want. It would be, like, the digital replacement for that crazy guy that drives around Hollywood with the put me in your movie on his car.
Like Dennis Woodruff?
That guy, yeah. He could actually have, like, his own special I'm a crazy Hollywood freak music videos. which I would support.
I mean, think about it. You could just have, like, Lonely Girl 15 playing all the time over and over. You see, I was going for that groan.
I keep getting, like, MySpace requests from, like, hot party 15-year-olds. Hi, I'm just hanging out in MySpace looking for something to do. I was hoping you'd be cool, too. Why don't you check out my page and maybe we can hang out? It's like, yes, I believe you. You're a real person. I wonder, what are the purpose of those? Like, do people, like, because I see, like, some people actually have, you know, accepted those people as their friends, and they're not, like, ironically doing it. So I wonder, do they think they're going to meet the creepy 15-year-old girl that will send them to jail?
Well, it's weird because, yeah, you can't get paid that way. It's not like a 1-900 number.
Well,
like, how do people get business off of MySpace?
And also, I have to say that, I've changed jobs since the last time I was here. I'm now a middle school science teacher.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes. So, but I have looked up all my students on MySpace, all my 11 and 12-year-old students who insist that they are 15 and 16 years old on MySpace.
Yeah, I assume that you now have to make your profile completely private so that they don't actually find
totally
you.
Totally private.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
They've asked. They know that I'm there somewhere. They're like, I don't understand why you can't friend me. And they get all insulted.
Yeah, well, once upon a time, there was a magical teacher who dated one of her students. She went to a special place for grown-ups only called prison. But 12 years later, she hatched from jail like a cocoon and married that student. And now they have a family. And thus the cycle of life continues unabated.
My thing with the people on MySpace who have like the tens of thousands of friends, I don't understand it. And I've gotten on my page like, you know, all these random friend requests and things like that. And I finally had to put on my page like, you know, look, I don't want to be a dick, but if I don't know you, I don't want to.
Yeah,
asking to be my friend.
Which brings me back to number two. I may have once known you back in the day. Now, sometimes I'll recognize someone right off the bat, like an old friend of mine that I haven't seen probably in 7 or 8 years since before I moved to L.A., this girl Sarah. It turns out she lives up in San Francisco now, so I haven't seen her, like I said, in 6 years. She sent a friend request, and apparently had meant to send a message along with it, and got separated from her message somehow, because I did send an email sort of like tongue-in-cheek chastising her for not sending a message. But that's a rare event where I actually recognize somebody. Usually it's like... like a lot of the time, in fact, it's like somebody I used to know, but they've got like 4 kids now, and they like completely live through their children. So all their MySpace pictures are pictures of their kids. So I get like a random friend request So I get like a random friend request from a bunch of kids, and I'm like, do I want to risk the jail time that it might happen if I even look to see who the hell this is? So if you know me, but you don't have your fucking picture up there, send me a message. You go, oh, by the way, those are my kids, and no, I'm not trying to get you to molest them.
Well, and also send a message just because, you know, you'll get a friend request that's like, who the hell is Hoobajoo 13?
It's true. It's all true. Hoobajoo? That doesn't even make any sense.
It's from South Park.
Oh, yeah, Chef.
With the big metal Hoobajoo up your butt.
That's right. From the first episode, in fact. That's a good episode.
I almost squirted wine out of my nose because I was taking a sip just when you said that.
Ah, good times.
I don't want to hear squirted and hoobajoobs up your butt.
No, I understand. All right, so it's now 2007, and we didn't actually have a proper New Year's show, and we didn't have a proper first show of the year show, so now it's 2007, and I'm going to ask people two questions. One, do you have a goal for this year? A plan, so to speak. Something that you want to accomplish. Not your wedding. That's going to happen. Two, is there something that you're looking forward to or that you want to predict right now? Be the first person to say X is going to happen. And you're not allowed to say war with Iran because we all know that's coming. I know, exactly. I'm going to predict that Rome Season 2 is going to blow your asses out of your seat and it's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened. And I'm so happy and excited that it's back. And I'm actually masturbating my knee right now in excitement. I have been waiting for a year for that show to come back, and I can't talk about it enough. It's so great. As I always say, it's the most perfect recreation of ancient Rome I've ever seen, right down to like how vulgar and also like passionately like religiously conservative the Romans were. Romans really were like Americans with swords. It's really, really in every negative way possible. They didn't have like a, you know, RCLU. Sadly, Roman Civil Liberties Union, which they didn't have any organization like that. And lots and lots of killing, though. And that, I guess I'll shut up now. I'm just really looking forward to it. And it starts this. It's going to be awesome. Lots of killing. And togas.
Well, my goal for this year is basically, it was my goal for last year, but it didn't happen. And that is to never have to work in an office again.
For those of you who can't see, I'm actually giving her the fist of power.
But it'll happen this year.
Oh, my God.
I promise.
Yeah, last year I was trying to find another job and realized during the course of that I already have a crappy office job that I hate more than life itself, and I don't want to replace that with the exact same job. So I feel your pain. My goal would be so fantastic, never have to do that again.
But, oh, there's something I'm looking forward to, too, that I forgot about for a while and just remembered today. The National Lampoon book that I have an essay in is coming out February 20th.
I forgot you got in that. That's okay.
Yeah. So National Lampoon.
Did you get paid for that?
For print. Yeah, I got $50.
High five. But it's a nationally published book, so.
Yeah. So it's available for pre-order on Amazon.
Everybody, right, please now order a book, because the more people that buy it, the more we'll see her stuff. And then, you know, we can see her one step closer to. That's awesome. I'm very jealous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I get any sort of cut of the royalties.
No, but I mean, any publicity is good publicity, right? That's gonna, yeah. It's on your resume now.
Absolutely.
And good. I support that. All right, next. Who wants to speak up? Nobody wants to speak up. I go to music.
All right, I'll go ahead and go.
Where do?
Well, I guess I'm...
You better say you're looking forward to getting married.
Yeah, you better.
I said wedding stuff is not allowed.
He's looking forward to the bachelor party.
So
I hired a sheep prostitute.
I suppose the next best thing would be I'm looking forward to / hoping to see George W. violently projectile diarrhea during one of his speeches.
Man.
That would make me smile just... for the look on his face.
Yeah, there have been some hopeful things.
Which would be even more confused than the usual look on his face.
I know. There have been some hopeful stirrings of people in...
Is that a joke?
What? No. I mean, there have been some hopeful stirrings of people in Congress remembering that they are a equal branch of government to the executive branch, and realizing that means they have powers and responsibilities that they could bring to bear against the president they disagree with. I mean, there's been some attempts for... Like some of the Democrats in particular who have been around during the reign of Bush, kind of used to being treated like a you know, like a bitch, basically, and like in prison, you know, they're completely cowed into submission. So, like, obviously, when people start talking about placing budgetary restrictions on the war to keep them from escalating it, and you know, douchebag, I'm sorry, colostomy bag. Joe Biden tried to come out and go, well, I don't think we have the constitutional authority to place a budgetary restriction on an escalation of this nature. And like three other people had to come up and go, it's actually in Article 4 of this thing that you might have heard of called the United States Constitution, which incidentally also happens to be the thing that authorizes you to be. Anyway, the point is, I don't want to make this too explicitly political, but I want to see George Bush cry and throw a temper tantrum. That'd make me happy. And also, I want... Actually, what do I want?
But he has thrown a temper tantrum. I mean, there have been all these articles where it's like, George Bush actually gets sad when people don't like what he's saying. It's like, you're the president. You know, come on, you're an adult.
I know, but George Bush is actually in Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, so of course he can't take criticism. I'm sorry, I just like to diss Black Rebel Motorcycle Club as often as possible because I made one of the members cry at a party.
Sorry, it's great.
Yeah, about 5 years ago. No, 6 years ago. No, it was in 2001. Went to a party, and one of the members... It was one of those, like, name-droppy hipstery parties. Like, not that I'm not a hipster, but, you know, it was one of those kind of parties where everyone there is... Where there's, like, a couple of, like, people of moderate acclaim there, and everyone is, like, you know, just on the floor in line to lick their balls as quickly as possible, you know? And I didn't realize that they was there, but I had just seen Black Rebel Motorcycle Club open for the Charlatans, and a very boring show. Charlatans were all right, but I think the whole thing was ruined for me because Nick Harcourt's such a douchebag. And he came out, and he had this, like, you know, it's like, finally, a swami British person I can introduce on stage, you know, the Nick Harcourt voice. And so he kind of put me in a bad mood. It was at the El Rey, which I hate the El Rey. If you live in Los Angeles, then you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, It used to be a movie theater that converted into a venue, and it's the shittiest sound ever. And it's like an old movie theater built back in the 30s, so of course it has shitty acoustics. And anyway,
did they recently try to fix that?
If they did, it was unsuccessful.
Oh, because I thought there was like a re-premiere of it.
There might have been, but I mean, I've been there in the last 6 months, and it was one of the worst. It's still
just changed ownership.
Yeah, probably. It doesn't matter. It's a terrible venue, and the point is, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club were very, very, very lame. And so we're at this party, and they came up, and people were praising them to the skies. And I was like, whatever. That was like the most boring show I've ever seen. I was like, I literally fell asleep, and in my dream fell asleep, and then woke up, and my dream woke me up. That's how boring they were. And actually, I was like, I think what I said was like, I actually woke up 3 weeks later in the hospital. And of course, it was like 4 days later, and that was the joke. And my friend Adrian got this look on her face, like her skin was like white as a sheet. And she's like, he's standing right there. And I look, and it's like the fucking frizzy head, you know. He has like triangle frizzy hair, you know. He just has really frizzy hair, and it was sort of like cut on the sides. The point is, he was standing right there, and I realized who it was, and I just went... And he was like, oh, my stars! And he just, like, left the living room. And I got in a really weird argument after that point because I'd been rude, you know?
Wait, but you said he cried?
Yeah, well, he teared up. He was, like, offended and stormed out of the room. And everyone was just like, it was like I'd literally just walked in and went, I love Hitler! And everyone was like, whoa, this is L.A., you know? So, That's the end of the story, really. I offended him, and he kind of teared up and clutched at his pearls and stormed out of the room. And ever since then, I've had the honor of knowing that I inadvertently insulted Black Rebel Motorcycle Club to their face, and it was perfect moment of awesomeness for me. I love that. I hate them. So then they're really nobodies now, but I'm sure they'll come out with another album at some point, and Pitchfork will be there to, like, shit all over themselves with joy. But still, they suck. That's all. I'm going to play some music now. I don't want to do any more rants from 2003. We're going to do only 2007 rants from now on. I'm going to open this up. This is a guy I've got on the show coming up in a couple of weeks as well. Chisholm Worthington, who's a Long Beach LBC-based musician. You can best describe him as a cross between, let's say... God, it's hard to say. Okay, a cross between John Goodman from True Stories and Ween.
That's kind of similar in a weird way.
Exactly.
So.
He's incredibly awesome and wonderful. And he has this song that I'm not going to play, sadly, because I already told him what song I was going to play tonight, and I don't want to be a liar. But there, he does have a song called War Is Cool, and the chorus is war, or the verse is war is cool, if by cool you mean stupid. And it's a funny song. But this song is called Split Pea Soup. And I'm going to drop it right now.
Is it Split Peas?
No, Split Pea Soup. His songs are all very, very silly.
I don't know if they were all, like, themed on war.
The cool thing about Chisholm Worthington, and it's Chisholm Worthington. Chisholm Worthington. You go to his MySpace profile, and he has a link to his, like, all that he made. He's got videos for every song on his album, and they're hilarious. He's got one called George Bush Doesn't Know Shit, and the whole thing looks like a news broadcast. It's very, very funny. But anyway, here we go. Without any further ado, Split Pea Soup.
Monkey, monkey, rabbit, rabbit, pickle, pickle, back, nabbit, nabbit. The world is beautiful and funny like split pea soup. Chewing on split pea soup for a million years. Boom, 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 boom. A small potato that is bigger than a bun.
Stepping along the home of the sidewalk, a marionette, a slave. Your legs are wooden, tied to the city, who has final say? It's hard to hug the girders, my brother. It's hard to swing and walk with your tempo one beat less than the others, or three times more at fault.
Yeah. I used to fall in love with all those boys who maul the young cuties. But now I find I'm more inclined to keep my mind on my duties. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine finana hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy, he treats it so well. There was a dame that a football game made long for the strong undergraddy. I never dream of making the team, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy, he treats it so well, so well. You
you hear? Listen at your order. Those most deserving will end up with the most. That the cream cannot help but always rise up to the top. Well, I say, shit floats. If you thought things had changed, friend, you better think again. Bluntly put, in the fewest of words, cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running the world. Now the working classes are obsolete. They are surplus to society's needs. So let them all kill each other and get it made overseas. That's the word, don't you know, from the guys that's running the show. Let's be perfectly clear, boys and girls. Oh, cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running. Make any money. And if you don't like it, then leave. Or use your right to protest on the streets. Yeah, use your right, but don't imagine that it's hurt. We'll be right back.
see me, you'll reach your height. I promise you that. I'll say I told you so, and you'll nod your head. I feel so powerful, your voice goes red.
Relaxing smooth sounds of Ulrich Schnauss taking us into another talking section. We're back. And for some reason, I can barely hear myself. And now I'm going to tell us what we just listened to. What we just heard, the last song was by Brendan Benson. It's called Feel Like Myself, which is a recent song, am I correct? Yes, it's a good song too, I really like it. Before that, I couldn't resist, I played God of Thunder by Kiss. I like the chorus because it goes, God of Thunder, dun-dun-dun, and rock and roll. Well,
for a second I was like, wait a minute, why is Ross playing his least favorite band on Earth, Pink Floyd? Because it did kind of sound like Pink Floyd.
But it was Kiss, and you know Kiss is not my least favorite band.
I didn't think it was as good as Pink Floyd.
I've got this for you right here. Yeah. I'm giving her the Divergent sign.
I think Kiss is really bad.
No, Kiss is really bad, but they're really good bad. Like, Kiss does one thing. They go, da-na, da-na-na, 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 we're getting some pussy! And sometimes da-na-na. That's enough. Yeah, they like AC/DC. AC/DC is not the most, like, complex band in the world, but
yeah,
AC/DC, they do one thing well. They rock the fuck out of you. And Kiss?
Yeah, but I think they're better musicians.
Oh, I agree with you completely. No, I'm just saying that, like,
Kiss is bad musicians, bad production.
No, Kiss is just not
songs.
Great musicians. I'm going to say Kiss does one thing right. They write really simplistic rock songs about how much pussy they're going to get later, because that's what they do. They write crappy rock songs and have sex with cheap women.
I appreciate the fact that they just continue doing their old stuff and don't go further and try to create new songs, because it would be
well, even like their more recent stuff, like from the 80s, isn't horrible. Like Lick It Up is a fucking, you okay? DJ Ooze for Jesus just had a little accident. She almost fell out of her chair, which is very weird. I just want to say that I think that I respect the fact that Kiss is unashamedly about having a good time, and they write music that's fun to listen to. They're not complex, and I'm not going to put them, because AC/DC is a complicated band who also pretty much has a bunch of songs that are like, Rocky, I'm fucking balls off! But there's something like much more deep and like mean and sort of dark about AC/DC. Plus, they'll do little things, like they'll throw a bagpipe in one of their songs.
Oh, that's my favorite song.
I would say that like Kiss are like the book report on how to rock out perfectly, and AC/DC are like the scientists in the laboratory perfecting how to rock out perpetually. And they'll like come up with the perfect riff in a song. Kiss kind of does this too, but you know, AC/DC will come up with a great riff in a song, and they'll give it to you in the middle eight, and then they'll come back and the fade will be that same riff, because they know what you want to hear. You want to hear that bam 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 bam, and man, they're awesome. I love AC/DC. But anyway, that was Kiss, another band that I've really gotten into lately. And the song was called God of Thunder. Before that, I played a song by Jarvis Cocker from his recent solo album, Jarvis by Jarvis. The song's called Running the World. It's the last song on the CD. It's actually a hidden track on the American version of the album. Featured in the closing credits of Children of Men, which is a movie that, as we were talking about during the musical segment of the show, is my current favorite movie. I love it with every fiber of my being. Brilliant fucking film. Go see it. Spend your money. In fact, you come over to my house, because me and my roommate have a copy of it too, because Oscar screening copy. Shh. Anyway, Running the World is the name of the song, and it's really wonderful. And the great thing about the album, it's a very political album, but it's a very fun album. He doesn't get preachy. He's just sort of got this sort of sardonic resignation, a sort of wish to change things, but a recognition of how much fucking bullshit there is. And that song in particular is. I read a review of it, and the guy said he could have written some lame Verve feel good anthem with the music in that song, but instead he called it Running. He said he wrote Cunts Are Still Running the World. Good for him. Before that, played Erland Oye, Sheltered Life, from his 1993 solo album. Before that, we played, what was the song that you selected?
My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
By Eartha Kitt.
By Eartha Kitt. My Heart Belongs to Daddy by Eartha Kitt. Before that, The Chalets, an Irish band. Who are a current band. You can hear them. They actually represented Ireland when Bulgaria was admitted into the EU a couple years back. I don't know why.
What?
I know that.
No, they represented
Ireland. Yeah, there was like an EU sort of celebration, and every country sent like a cultural representative for the induction ceremony.
An Irish representation of Bulgaria? Okay.
No, yeah, the Chalets were Ireland's representation. Okay, and I mean the Republic of, not the British conquered part. Maybe it's not conquered. It was conquered back in the day. Now it's just, you know, people fighting over a couple of counties. It's weird when they refer to them as counties, because I think about that, like, it's like, what, 9 counties? That's Northern Ireland, right? I'm not dissing the Northern Irish wish to be independent of England. I'm just thinking about how funny it is when you think about 9 counties, and I think about counties in the American sense, so it's like, that'd be like, you know, Creek County, which is where Sepulpa that I grew up in, and Tulsa County being in separate countries. It'd be very weird. Although, on the other hand, it would make perfect sense. What were you going to say? Anyway, the point is, they're from Ireland, and not, you know, British Ireland. English Ireland, let's be honest. England, basically, what I found out was that in the 1200s, the Pope thought that the Irish were getting too heretical. So he basically authorized the English king to whip him back into shape and bring him back into the fold of true, honest Catholicism. Boy, is his face red now. Because England was the second country to... Anyway, I'm going to move on. Before the Chalets, Essex Green, Don't Know Why. Before that, we open the setup with Chisholm Worthington, Split Pea Soup. And now...
Oh, well, I'm just going to say... You're mentioning the EU and celebrations.
Right on.
I heard about this today, and it sounds like the lamest fun on earth. Mm-hmm. But apparently tonight there's a new opening of like a new Australian consulate in LA, and they're having a big celebration, and they're pulling out the like big names of Australia and Russell Crowe and the Wiggles are supposed to be performing there.
Is 20 odd foot of grunts going to be there too?
I don't know. But yeah, I think this is happening somewhere in Century City this evening. Well,
we've got to go.
But what's the song in the Wiggles?
It's actually Russell Crowe and the Wiggles.
Yeah, exactly.
He's taking over for the guy in the red sweater.
Yeah, what happened was the Wiggles lead singer got in a fight with Russell Crowe. And Russell Crowe fucked him up. And so now, and that's Australian rules right there. If you beat up the lead singer of a band, you are now the lead singer of the band. Man.
But yeah, I don't know anything about this. I just got an email because I work in Century City. And right. I got an email about it involving like traffic.
I totally, do you work near Nakatomi Plaza?
What?
Yeah, from Die Hard. Yeah, the old Fox Tower. I regret
Plaza?
To inform you that I want to do this like adults, but unfortunately we cannot, so I regret to inform you that Mr. Takagi will not be joining us for the rest of his life. Such a great line. I love Die Hard.
I think that line was improvised, too.
Yeah. Alan Rickman actually made up the for the rest of his life. That was it was great. That was his first movie, too, wasn't it?
Alan Rickman is God. Can I just say that? Yeah. Snape. Yes.
He is a good actor.
Galaxy Quest, awesome.
Oh, he's so awesome in that.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, he played excellent 80s villain.
I know, but
he played the smart bad guy in the 80s.
I know, trash.
Well, what's
80s
funny is
villain.
Like, why a spoon, cousin? Because it's dull, it'll hurt more.
No, you gotta get the proper inflection. It's because it's dull, you twit, it'll hurt more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that movie. It would be crap if Alan Rickman. What is wrong with me? Apparently, I'm retarded. So anyway,
been watching Vin Diesel movies.
Yeah, I like Pitch Black a whole lot.
That's a great movie.
It is great, but The Chronicles of Riddick is really terrible.
I never even got through it.
Yes, exactly. I made it all the way to the end of Underworld, and that movie is a turd on top of a shit sandwich. Yeah, with Kate Beckinsale. Underworld is fucking terrible, and I made it to the end of it. And I can't watch The Chronicles of Riddick all the way through it. At some point, and here's why. It's PG-13, but Pitch Black is rated R. It should have been a rated R movie. It's retarded.
Now, I've always wondered, is Chronicles of Riddick, to me it seems like a big opportunity to do a lame Jesus metaphor. Is that what this...
No.
Is it like a masked... Because, I don't know,
it's not the title and the
preview.
Well, he made it sound... He said it was going to be like the...
It looked all lame and fake Jesus
I never saw Chronicles of Riddick, but I saw Pitch Black
which I liked.
Right.
Wasn't that like a ship that crashed on another planet?
Yeah, what happened is in Pitch Black, for those of you who haven't seen it, there's a ship taking people to Earth, basically. There's like a few Muslim people on it that are going on a pilgrimage to Mecca. It's way in the future. There's a few more people that are returning home from some colony planet they were living on. And there's a bounty hunter who has captured this notorious murderous criminal, Riddick, played by Vin Diesel. And he's got him in suspended animation. And the ship, and everyone's in suspended animation, and the ship passes through this planetary system and hits like an asteroid and has to crash land on this planet. The planet's in a binary or a trinary star system, so it's never nighttime. But they land there just before a total eclipse. It turns out underneath the planet, the way that the life cycle of the planet that are these creatures that have evolved to survive only in darkness, and they can only come out.
What do you mean underneath the planet?
Well, underneath the planet's crust. Mm-hmm. Like they're in the caves, in like every life form in the planet can only
inside the planet,
right? So in the caves, underground. There are these creatures that can't be in direct light. And so everyone thinks they're perfectly safe, but it turns out that they're right before a massive eclipse, but the cycle where all three suns go out of the visual plane and it becomes nighttime, and it happens like once every 30 years. So it becomes like a pulse-pounding race to make it to the end, you know?
Yeah, because Riddick can see in the dark.
Yeah, that was the thing. Riddick's been in and out of prisons his entire life, so he has like cyborg guys that can see in the dark. So he sort of, as a result of this, you know, talent that he has, and he's a stone-cold killer, he ends up sort of becoming a de facto sort of, like, native guide for them. And he escapes in the end, and it leaves it sort of open what's going to happen. But he's a bad person. Now, he's not, like, evil. It's just that he's like Titus Pullo from Rome, right? He's just sort of a brute. Nobody here's
seen... Do we have a non-Rome reference, maybe?
I'm just excited about it. He's a very... He's not a horrible guy, and when pressed, he'll do the right thing, but the truth is he'll kill, he'll steal, he'll lie, he'll rob, he'll do whatever the fuck it takes if it looks like he thinks he's going to be in trouble. And he's been in and out of jails his entire life. So when they announced they were going to do a sequel to it, and then another sequel, and they were going to... Basically, he said it was going to be the evil Star Wars, is how they pitched it. And it sounded like it would be a great idea.
Or kind of like Vin Diesel's Lord of the Rings, essentially. It was supposed to be this epic trilogy around
right.
this character.
Is that why they put The Chronicles of... I just think that name... Like, kills the movie.
No, I agree. The second movie should have had its own... Look, the fact is, what they ended up doing is softening him to the point where he's not even a bad guy anymore. I mean, you want him to kind of do... You want him to have a redemptive arc, like Han Solo. You know what I mean?
Well, did he turn bad because the woman he loved got killed?
No, nothing like that. At least they didn't add that crap.
I'm so sick of that shit.
But they added this, like,
he's
bullshit...
He's just a badass.
Yeah, but they added this bull... Yeah, they added a bunch of BS, and it's a boring movie, and I don't want to talk about it anymore because it's crap, so let's change the subject. Chronicles of Riddick, Chronicles of Shittick.
I have a prediction. Since we're talking about sci-fi, I don't feel so much of a geek to say this now. Starbuck and Apollo get together in season 3.5 of BSG.
All right, so this is how... I haven't watched it.
All right, what is BSG?
Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
This isn't LOL.
Which I'm excited about.
AOL. I haven't been watching BSG, so I can't tell you.
That's rad.
I know that. I know that. I watched the first season and loved it.
WTF.
Yeah, hey, STFU.
Let's sound out our words in our sentences, please.
Actually, what I want to do is like just make up
LOL.
Online acronyms. Like... You know, an acronym for walking down the street to buy some groceries. You know, because you're texting on your phone. Or, wow, I'd really like to talk to you, but I'd rather go to the bathroom instead. Have fun while I pee. Just making, I don't know, that I'm going to shut up.
That's a bio break. That's World of Warcraft, lead speak.
Hang on.
You lead speak for that. You have to find a way to do a
before you go any further. Are you a virgin? I just want to know.
Not anymore.
His DJ name is Advanced D&DJ.
That's true. So. That is the best DJ name ever, Advanced D&DJ. I wish I'd come up with that for myself, even though I wasn't an Advanced D&D player. I had a Nintendo.
I'm a geek.
Old school.
Hey, Zelda.
Wait a minute. Why did he get to come up with his own?
Well, no, I came up with it.
How the hell did I become DJ Skingraft?
Kiss
no,
my fist.
I bequeathed. I said I liked
kiss
it.
My fist made it up. And yeah, and yeah, DJ JetBlue said she liked it. And that's how you ended up with Skingraft. We could give you something else. How about DJ Pink Panties that needs to be an adult and stop crying all the time? In fact,
wah.
Yeah, no, DJ Wambulance. That's what we're going to call you from now on. You can just go cry all the way to mommy. You know what? I don't even have the world's smallest accordion. I brought my entire world's smallest bagpipe Scottish funeral marchers. Yeah, anyway. That was cloying. I apologize for that. Ah, good.
It was
if I were
cloying.
Smarter, I would come up with such a good retort.
I was hoping we had... Do we have wine? Are we
I
out of wine?
I drank it all.
Son of a bitch! Yeah, we're out. I was hoping for another drink, but
that
I don't
Sparks need isn't taking care of the problem.
You know what?
There?
What's cool about Sparks is when I drink it, I can also be like, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. You know, because Sparks is a decent band in addition to a decent... Actually, it's not a good drink. It's like if you put booze in Red Bull, it's exactly what it is. They already have booze in Red Bull. It's called Red Bull and Vodka, but they have Sparks now, which ironically tastes like... Ironically? Ironically. Shut up.
Ironically?
It's in a battery.
It is in a battery. That's the joke, see?
It recharges you.
Everything... Here's what I want for the next year. Because it has been 15 years now of extreme this and extreme that, I want to move on to like a relaxed state of mind. I want everything to be like, this is gonna chill you the fuck out.
Like everybody's stoned all the time.
Yeah, like Sparks will then come in like what looks to be like a lot, like a opium suppository, you know, that you just stick a straw into. That would be awesome.
It's interesting that you went to the suppository method first, though.
Not if you've known me for more than a year. Oh, yeah.
Since we're on the subject of energy drinks, I just want to mention Idiocracy is out on video.
Word.
Finally. Fox is, you know.
Is it the longer version or is it still?
No, it's still
the crappy
Fox
Idiocracy
cut.
For those of us
it's
who 84 don't know.
Minutes. Idiocracy is the Mike Judge film he shot like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Fox quelled it because it totally ripped like Fox and all the other shitty aspects of our culture.
What is it about?
It's basically the idiots take over.
What happens?
The guy is a time traveler.
He gets put in a cryogenic.
The country we're living in right now.
To the extreme.
He gets put into a cryogenic sleep, and then wakes up 500 years later, and America is as dumb as it is now, but even worse. So the way
they introduce it is
the
progression of Fuddruckers through time, and it's like. Fuddruckers, then it's like Fuckdruckers or something. And then it finally becomes Buttfuckers, and there's like children's birthday parties in there, and it's just basically about people being idiots.
Well, like there's a big famine because all the because everything's run by very much corporate, big business type of thing. So like a corporation bought American agriculture, and instead of giving plants water, they give it like this like Gatorade kind of drink, and their slogan's like, we have electrolytes. It's what plants want. And, I mean, it's got so many good concepts, and apparently he had, like, a three-hour cut. Idiocracy. Apparently there was, like, a three-hour cut, and then Fox sat on it for 2 years and then trimmed it down to 84 minutes and took out all the satire and replaced it with voiceover narration, and it kind of ruins the comedy. But you can tell that there's a brilliant fucking movie in there, and the stuff that's left is still pretty good.
Yeah, there's enough there to recommend it, I think. I mean, it's not as good as Office Space, but some of its points are well made, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
So check it out.
Or was that building on fire?
Exactly. good times, great oldies. So today, I actually heard somebody at my office say, we've got that meeting on Monday, so don't forget to put your thinking cap on.
A rat!
A grown fucking woman said this.
You gotta work on King Day?
Dude, that's gonna give you a case of the Mondays.
I don't,
but I'm a teacher.
I got it off.
I have to go to work, but I work for Big Brother.
Wait, I gotta bring this up, because I was talking to DJ Fun Employment, and it just reminded me, in my high school, for some reason, they couldn't coordinate the... It was because there were, like, built-in snow days
right. In
every year that, in order to have a 180-day school year, there were some bank holidays that we still had to go to school, even though it was public school. So we never got MLK Day off. But one year, and I was in middle school...
I'm in a private school, just you know.
There was this rumor that that the black people could take the day off all, you know, five... all five of them because I came from this like small white people.
So is it like senior skip day?
Well, no. See, here's the thing. So like suddenly this rumor started circulating in the morning that the school board allowed black people to take the day off, but white people couldn't, and people got all pissed and they like cut school. But then the thing was, like an hour later, they came back with picket signs about like not being like equal rights and shit. And they started running through the school to try to like get people, and they would like run up to the classrooms and try to get people to come out of the classroom with them. And then they left again, and the school, you know, administration got pissed that all these people were like riding through the school for no apparent reason, because that absolutely wasn't true. You can't do that, you know. So they locked the doors to the school, and these people, they left again, and then they tried to like come back to like beat their point to death that like they weren't allowed to take the day off because they were white. And it just turned out that one of the like four or five black people that were at my school was sick that day.
Yeah, so well, right-wingers get their panties in a twist. They do retarded shit
so
like that.
It was so hilarious, and they had these signs, and, like, they came running through the gym, and there was, like, a typo on one of the picket signs.
You know,
so amazing.
You know, when they're adults, these are the same people that are like, well, if black people can use the N-word, why can't I? It's because when you use the N-word, you're also wearing a white sheet and lynching somebody. That's why you can't use it.
There is no school, even though we came from, like, this, like, small, like, Christian fundamentalist town, there is no way a school administration would ever authorize, like, oh, you, like, black people can stay home, but white people have to come to school. There is no way.
Well, like, every time right-wingers...
No, because if you have any sort of experience in education, you'd see that that would separate people more.
Separate them,
like,
but equally.
You would get in trouble, you know? That is
America.
Well, I think people at school boards do stupid fucking things all the time because you have these teachers that just go off the rails and talk about Jesus and how if you need to worship George Bush.
And that happened in New Jersey, too,
by the way. It happened
in
Jersey. Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
That's where I came from.
I know.
So I totally know those people.
Yeah, I know.
Did teach at my school.
Man, I remember, like, when I was in high school, I got in a debate with one of my teachers because she was just she wanted to just. This is our fucking federal government teacher who was like, America was founded by Christians on Christian principles. And we would get in these debates in class, and I'm like, yeah, Thomas Jefferson, you know, he edited the Bible.
Deist.
And, well, it's not about that. It's like Thomas Jefferson actually created the Jefferson Bible where he took all the miracles out.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do we get that?
They used to pass that out in Congress and then until like the 30s.
Yeah, he retitled it Peyton Place. So.
Zing.
As far as I know, none of our founding fathers were Christian.
No. George Washington was, John Adams. I mean, it was a mixed bag. It was like, you know, there was a lot of Christians. Obviously, America had a lot of Christians, but a lot of the leading intellectual lights of the founding fathers were not Christians. Many of them were. The important part is that the ones that right-wingers love generally weren't, except for Washington. And also that they all, like, smartly decided, oh, wait, let's try to avoid having religious wars in our country. But, you know, it's not enough. It's not enough that Christians be allowed to be Christians. They want to be able to, you know, ridicule you if you, you know, say, from a horrible going-to-hell Jewish family. I'm talking to you, Taryn, by the way. I just hope that when Jesus comes back, you'll recognize the folly of your ways before he sends you straight to hell.
And what about my pagan ways? What do I get for those?
Oh, well, you'll go straight to hell for that anyway.
Oh, okay.
But you might be saved because of your evil, Christ-killing Jew genes. So, you know. Yeah, exactly.
I'll give my heart to Jesus on my deathbed. Don't worry.
Yeah,
boss.
But I'm keeping my dick for the ladies. Word. I don't know why I had to say that.
What?
I'll give my heart to Jesus, but see, it's a...
Yeah. But she doesn't have a dick.
I have one, and I was changing the... It's about
okay.
Me
now. Oh.
All right, well, I'm going to jump in with a parallel subject, talking about the Founding Fathers, something I told Taryn today that I found very cool. In the effect shop that I'm working at right now, they have, which is not uncommon for effect shops, they have, you know, when they bring in celebrities to do face casts for one movie or another, you know, they'll put them up on a wall on a big display.
But what I haven't seen, which is very cool, they also have a collection of death masks, death casts.
Wow.
So basically, it's a tradition, for those of you who don't know what it is, goes back several thousand years of after someone dies, molding their face to have, you know, like an effigy or whatever to them. But on this wall, they have masks of Napoleon, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, and like, you know, off of the actual faces.
That's really cool.
Very cool to me.
You know, one thing that's really interesting, Napoleon wasn't short. He was a perfectly average height for his time.
He has an incredibly squarish face.
Yeah. But he wasn't short. He was, in fact, kind of tall for a Frenchman. French people were a little less well-nourished than English people were, so they tended to be shorter in general. But he was like 5'7", 5'8", 5'9". He was like a perfectly average height for the time.
So then where did this, like...
His political enemies, the same place, you know, the same way that stories like George Washington chopped down a cherry tree, or, you know, George Bush got into Yale on the merits of his intellectual rigor. You know, whatever. Rumors get started for whatever reason. And they just become seen as historical fact. And that's all. I think it's time to wrap shit up. And I'm going to do that now by playing a couple of songs. We're closing theme party up now, but this episode will be on, hopefully, when we're done. If I can convince certain people to stick around, we'll put it up on the internets. And now, without any further ado, the end of theme party. Remember, we'll be back. We won't be here next week unless Kiss My Fist wants to do it alone, because I will be in lovely Tulsa, Oklahoma, visiting the fam. But I will be back in 2 weeks with everybody, of course, here in the studio with me, hopefully. And we will have a musical guest that night. We will announce who that musical guest is as soon as it is. I have two possibly lined up, one of which has to be pushed ahead a week. We'll have to figure out who wants it more. With a topless battle to the death.
In pudding.
In pudding, yeah, exactly. actually, I prefer Chipotle sauce. I like it spicy.
That's more expensive, though.
Whatever, I'm willing to spend that money. I love Chipotle. All right. The song I'm going to play is by the Future Bible Heroes. It's called From Some Dying Star. And this, of course, is the end of theme party. Please stick around for more hot Kill Radio programming action. Okay, maybe it's not that song. Nobody ever tells me anything. It's actually Losing Your Affection. Good night, everybody.
Oh, Jesus.
God bless.
Stay.